What is the answer to the seemingly simplest question, what time is it? We can check our watches, or if you're somewhat compulsive like me, your Fitbit, or your iPhone, or your iPad. I'll go home tonight, like my kitchen, I can check the kitchen, I can check the radio, that's how whole tech I am. The microwave, the oven, in my study, the computer, or I can engage in a conversation. Siri, what time is it? Alexa, what time is it in Washington, D.C.? Don't say Washington, you'll be 3 hours off. Simple question, what time is it? We come tonight to begin the season of Advent, which is about telling time in God, reflecting upon time and its hold over us, making the most of the time we have on earth until Christ comes again to bring time to an end. Now, in some cultures, the question is not, what time is it? In some cultures, the question is, what is the hour? Last I checked, certainly French, Spanish, Italian, and one of the questions in German, what is the hour? And in tonight's readings, there are two times when the word hour is used. Verse 1 from St. Paul, you know the time, it is the hour now for you to wake from sleep. Our salvation is nearer than when you first believed. And in the Gospel of St. Matthew, we are told the opposite. So too, you must be prepared. You do not know the hour when the Son of Man will come. It sounds like a graduate school class that I teach forever. On the one hand, we know the hour. It's now. Wake up. Get ready. Stay awake. But as we say in graduate school, on the other hand, we don't know the hour when we will die. And that's the point of it all. On the one hand, yes, on the one hand, no. The one is a wake-up call, and the other is when Christ comes and takes us lovingly to the final embrace in heaven. One of the sections of T.S. Eliot's The Wasteland, he uses a quote, dare I say it, from a bartender. The phrase the bartender used in those days in bars in England to close the bar was not last call. The bartender said, hurry up, please, it's time. Hurry up, please, it's time. Urgency, get your last drink. But in the world in which we live, the gospel gives us an urgency to wake up that this is the time of our salvation here and now, and be aware of it, and be aware of life and love and what God has in store for us. But we don't always do that, do we? The dialogue between Emily and the stage manager in the last act of Our Town. Emily's back for a day and she's frustrated because no one pays real attention. And Emily asks him, does anyone ever realize life while they live it every minute? And the stage manager, as you know, says, no, saints and poets maybe, they do some. Here I say it, we have one life to live, got it? We have one soul to save, got it? We've got one chance, this is it, there's no do-over. This is it. And we have to make the best of the time we have before time comes to an end. This week, many of us spent time with loved ones and relatives and friends at Thanksgiving tables, and if you're like my family, they told many of the same stories. But we were grateful to be together. I'm in cancer remission so far, My cousin had bladder surgery last week. He was at the table. Very, very grateful. But one cousin was there, diagnosed with pulmonary problems, and could easily not be there next year. So in the meantime, we took advantage to be together and to spend time. As Natalie Babbitt says in her book, Tuck Everlasting, do not fear death, but rather fear the unlived life. You don't have to live forever. He says, you just have to live. Between our birth and our death is what matters. On the tombstone, the most important thing in the tombstone after our name is the dash. Birth date, death date. What did we do in the meantime? Hurry up, please. It's time. Two thoughts, what to do in the meantime. The first one is to relish the universality of God's love. Image of Isaiah, all nations will stream toward it. The psalm we'll use again and again after Christmas is, all the ends of the earth have seen the salvation by our God. That's a wake-up call for Israel, who realizes from now on it's not just Israel, it's all nations streaming to God's mountain. Many peoples, many lands, and yet sometimes our conversations and our attitudes are not about all nations. It's about not migrants. Why do migrants leave? For a lot of the same reasons that my grandparents left Ireland and Germany. They came here for a new life, for work, for prosperity. And yet sometimes in our conversations and maybe in our minds and hearts, we want to close those doors and not allow that to happen. That could be a contrary cultural position, but sometimes that's Catholicism. And we go against the goad and take a risk in order to live according to the gospel in the Catholic tradition. We believe that no one is alone, and we said that long before Stephen Sondheim wrote it. Sondheim writes, Mother cannot guide you, now you're on your own, only me beside you, still you're not alone. No one is alone truly, no one is alone. You decide alone, but no one is alone. People make mistakes holding to their own, thinking they're alone, but no one is alone. Pope Francis is a fierce defender of the rights of migrants. Hurry up, please. It's time. And number two, to be a Christopher, a bearer of Christ to each other. Many of us recall in this church that after Vatican II, Christopher took a turn for the worse. On the calendar, St. Christopher, feast day, images, but he was taken off the calendar because he couldn't find the body. That's why, sorry. Couldn't find the body, so out he was. Well, there was a parish in Long Island, in East Hampton, whose pastor's name was Reverend Christopher Huntington, and the church was St. Christopher's, and Huntington decided, I've got to change the name of the church. No one told him to. Got a committee together, called the church architect and said to the architect, I've got to get that stained glass window of Christopher down. And the priest and the architect said, what will the church be named? And he said, Most Holy Trinity. I don't want to make the same mistake again. But really, Christopher is all of us. That image of Christopher carrying a child on his shoulders, walking through a stream, bearing someone's burdens. We're all meant to be Christophers, to bear each other's burdens. Better to light a candle than to curse the darkness. Bearing burdens, carrying crosses, comforting the sorrowful, counseling the depressed in this holy season is who we ought to be. bearing Christ to others. Many of us live in a world of 1,000 points of light. But some people live in a world in which they say, all I want to see is a light at the end of a tunnel. I want to see a glimmering star in the sky that I can't see. And I want to see a spark at the edge of the kindling wood because I feel no warmth in my life. You know those people. We may be those people, but we should bear Christ to them in the meantime, in the time we have left before time comes to an end. Hurry up, please. It's time. We come to this altar one more time to receive the body and blood of Christ. And before that, we will hear the words, as we wait in joyful hope for the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's Advent. Advent writ large, joyful hope. But in the meantime, to realize on the one hand, we don't know when our lives will end. And on the other hand, all we've got left is to bear Christ to each other. And that's the wake-up call of tonight's readings. To be Christophers to each other. St. Paul often says, become who you are, the body of Christ to each other. One body, one spirit in Christ. The simple thing to tell time, or is it? Hurry up, please. It's time.